Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Recently, the California legislature concluded its session. We don't have all the details yet on which bills Governor Newsom will sign, but we have a very clear indication of a landmark year in the state legislature. At least that's my contention. California going so far as attempting to give NCAA athletes the right to hire an agent to be able to profit from their likenesses, endorsement deals, commercial ventures. That, of course, likely to get legal challenge from the NCAA. We also have rent control in effect for the entire state of California. AB 5, which changes the relationship between companies and those who work for them, making it much more difficult for employees to be classified as independent contractors as opposed to formal employees. And there are many others we could go on. This is a state that historically has seen many of its breakthroughs come by way of ballot measures. We look at 1978's Proposition 13 on property tax limits, Prop 65, hazardous chemicals warning, Prop 98 guaranteed school funding, Prop 187 denying those in the country illegally from public benefits, Prop 209 banning affirmative action in the public sector, medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, stem cell research funding. These are all ways in which ballot measures broke significant ground in California. My question is it now the legislature that is breaking significant ground with its progressive agenda? Joining us to talk about it, Dan Walters, longtime California political observer for the Sacramento Bee and now with Cal Matters. Dan, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Where would you put this legislative session historically?
Well, it has been an activist session, obviously. I think a lot of it reflects several factors. It reflects the mood of the state, kind of the anti-Donald Trump feeling in political circles, much stronger Democratic majorities in both houses of the legislature, and finally a new governor who seems to be more activist and more ambitious than Uncle Jerry, who replaced Uncle Jerry Brown that he replaced earlier this year. So they have all those factors working towards a more activist, maybe even in some cases intrusive agenda. A lot of stuff has been bottled up over the last several governorships of moderate Democrats and Republicans, and now the interest groups on the left. Say the unions, others, or say this is the time to strike. We got a new governor. We got bigger majorities in the legislature. We've got the wind behind us politically in a national sense. So let's go for it. And that's what happened this year.
Dan Walters of Cal Matters with us. Also, Joel Fox, editor-in-chief of the political commentary website, Fox and Hounds Daily. Joel, good to have you with us again. It's hard for me to imagine former Governor Jerry Brown signing some of these bills because they are so out ahead of the curve. I mean, the NCAA athletes one is an example. I have a hard time picturing him signing that.
Well, I agree with that. However, that one issue actually has support, some supporters on the left and the right. You know, the free marketers on the right, the folks. I actually wrote about that, saying it's kind of an issue of individuality. You know, an individual gets rewarded for their achievement, their merit. That seems to be a comfortable position, at least for me.
I don't think there are any no votes to that.
Yeah, well, I don't remember the vote. Maybe Dan remembers, but there was opposition. Certainly the NCAA lobbied very hard against it, and I think that the governor, I suspect, will sign that one.
Do you see the legislature as now becoming the leading edge in the way that initiatives used to be?
Well, not only that, Larry, I see the legislature trying to usurp some of the power of the initiative. A number of examples. Voters in the last election said no to rent control. The legislature voted in statewide rent control. The voters in the last recent election, at least, said yes to the death penalty. And Governor Newsom signed an executive order that said, not during my watch. There was even a subtle one closer to home here in the Los Angeles area where the voters on a Los Angeles ballot said no to a government-controlled bank. The legislature passed a bill that said local governments can have local government banks. So they seem to be ignoring the will of the people and then even trying to limit the power of the legislature. I'll give you one more. There's a bill in front of the governor, passed the legislature, that's going to limit the ability to get access to the ballot because it's going to say so many of the signatures need to be collected by volunteers, and the way signature carriers are paid has to be changed, makes it a little bit more difficult. And as I'll point out that Dan Walters has written about this for ages, labor versus business. This will help labor because they have built-in volunteers.
Yeah, they have all the folks they can deploy for this.
This will hurt business, and we're seeing some attempts at referendums to take on legislative action, and this will make it a lot tougher because it's tougher to qualify those things. You only have a short period to do so.
We're talking with Joel Fox, editor-in-chief, political commentary website Fox and Hounds Daily. Also with us, a former professor at the USC Price School of Public Policy and political analyst for NBC4, Sherry Baptist Jeffy. Sherry, good morning. Where would you put this legislative session and its bills historically?
Well, I mean, I didn't see anything that was absolutely sparkling out of the ordinary to me. What I did notice was that it used to be the way things were done that bills were two-year bills. The first year was for education. The second was to move a bill through the process. And we're seeing a bit more of that now. I mean, I think Dan hit it right on the head. I mean, it was critical mass. It was the perfect storm. Huge majorities of Democrats, bilious anti-Trump sentiment, all of that, a new Democratic governor who is more activist than the former governor. I'm not sure that I totally agree with what Joel said about the legislature usurping the initiative because, excuse me, what is the legislature but the representative, theoretically, of the people? What is the initiative process? I don't think you can make a solid case that the initiative process is more democratic, small d, than the legislative process. Both of them are capable of being manipulated.
We'll continue our conversation with Sherry Baptist Jeffy, Dan Walters, and Joel Fox. We'll be back in 1 minute on Air Talk. Last Friday, the California legislature closed out its session. Governor Newsom now has some bills. He has to determine whether he's going to sign or not. But we're talking about whether this was a historic session with a number of progressive, more activist bills that have been passed by the legislature with a Democratic supermajority and in a number of cases on behalf of organized labor, which the largest financial interest for California statewide elections. Joining me is Dan Walters of CalMatters, Joel Fox of Fox and Hounds Daily, and Sherry Baptist Jeffy, political analyst for NBC4. Joel, Sherry just made the point that, you know, she doesn't think the legislature necessarily usurping the initiative process because the initiatives aren't a particularly pure representation of voter desire.
Well, yeah, Sherry said that because the initiatives can be manipulated, but so can the legislature. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of lobbying, a lot of money spent up there, as there is on initiatives, and the ability of interests to control legislature, help elect officials, the labor unions being a prime example, and having great influence when it comes time to passing bills. So I think that and remember, the initiative process was created as something to go around the legislature. That's its purpose. Yeah, it's a check. And if the legislature feels that the attitudes of the voters have changed since their last visit to the ballot box, and they have better arguments to make, put it back on the ballot. Get the voters to say, no, we made a mistake last time. We want to change the rent control law. We want to change the death penalty law.
Dan, your sense of where initiatives versus legislation stands, is it going to be tougher to qualify initiatives?
Well, it will be tougher to qualify an initiative if the governor signs the bill that Joel referred to. And I think it follows a pattern we've seen the last maybe 10 years or so. of the legislature trying to essentially make the initiative process more difficult to use. I think there is a definite trend there. We've seen a number of bills, this would be only the latest one, to do that. And I think it probably stems from the fact that the Democrats have such overwhelming control of the process now in the Capitol. And they don't want any competition. They don't want to have to put up with this thing because they figure they should be able to do whatever they think needs to be done, and they don't want somebody countermanding that through an initiative or a referendum. Now, this is all in the name of supposedly making initiatives, more democratic, with small d democratic. But you cannot get past the fact that it also eliminates essentially the competition for the policy making apparatus. So yes, the fact is that the pendulum was very strongly in favor of the initiative process for a couple of decades because you had essentially divided government. You very often had Democratic legislatures and Republican governors, and so the ballot became, starting with Proposition 13, 1978, became the basically primary vehicle of policy making in California. We would see a dozen initiatives or something on the ballot every couple of years. But there's been an effort to squeeze that down in recent years by, May, for example, a law that said initiatives have to go on the November ballot. They can no longer go on the June ballot. That's an effort to kind of manipulate that process. And there's been some number of others having to do with gathering and all that sort of stuff. So clearly there is an effort to try to handicap the initiative process. And this bill is just the latest one.
Well, and by having them all in November, if I'm not mistaken, the more initiatives you have on the ballot, the more likely people are to vote no, because they just get overwhelmed. I'm just voting no because there's so many here. Sherry, let me go back to you. How much do you think Gavin Newsom's future political aspirations play into his considerations of these bills?
Oh, Larry, not at all. Really? Come on.
I said how much. I didn't say did they.
His political aspirations didn't play into all of this. And it's interesting, for example, on the Tony Atkins bill, which basically was offered to protect California from the Trump administration's move to loosen environmental regulations, and particularly regulations dealing with water. I mean, environmentalists were part of his winning coalition, but yet there's an assumption that part of what he is doing to loosen those restrictions has to do with the fact that he wants to court the Central Valley. He wants to court agribusiness, which is not a natural Democratic constituency. He's doing the math, as I think any politician worth his or her salt would do.
Well, and there is the other pragmatic fact. If we have another drought and there's difficulty with water transfers, coming out of the Delta up north, then, his name is going to be out there as the guy who potentially blocked that because of the environmental regulations. Joel, just quickly before we close up here, you see anything that would change this trend?
Well, I think we're going to have a very active ballot in 2020 on the initiative side. That's going to actually be the fireworks for this next election. We know who's going to get the most votes in California for president, whoever wins the Democratic nomination. A lot of the local races could be interesting, but it's going to be the property tax raise possibility. Will there be a referendum on AB5, the workers' measure? There is a referendum on bail, which is a national issue. That's where the fireworks are going to be, and that could change the tone.
All right. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Joel Fox, editor-in-chief, political commentary website, Fox and Hounds Daily. Sherry Bevis-Jeffy, political analyst, NBC4. And Dan Walters, Cal Matters, a political observer for California. Prior to that, Sacramento Bee. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. This Friday at 10, I'm hosting a big regional call-in program with our public radio counterparts throughout the U.S. Southwest. I hope you'll join us as we talk about the Democratic candidates' environmental platforms. That's all coming up. We'll be back soon.